Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
He can do what he do.
Start the show.
Gentlemen, we are officially in the month of March, man. This year is progressing, but, you know, without further ado, you know how it is. We got to talk some sports, gentlemen. Got a lot of things to discuss. Major League Baseball, lockouts, football. Got to talk about what's happening with the Combine, NFL draft right around the corner. We got to talk about what's happening with the Lakers. I don't know. We'll see. Dumpster fire. All that good jazz. What's up with the Cowboys? What's up with, you know, what's going on? Rams, Dynasty, Cowboys. Yeah, it's just Mardi Gras happening. I mean, it's a lot, man. So, you know, but as always, it's a privilege to share the field of battle with you gentlemen. So let's get it cracking. Let's get it popping, as they say. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm good, man. I put on my Rattlers t-shirt for Rob since my Rattlers beat up on Grambling again this past weekend. And the baseball classic, so you know I got a chance to work those games, so I had to show them a little for the call.
Nice, good stuff. Hey, good stuff.
I was looking for FAMU and Mardi Gras, man.
Oh yeah, man, you never know what's up, man, but they're gonna show up back.
Good stuff. Grambling,
they were all there.
Well, I mean, it's supposed to be. It's in their backyard.
That other voice that you hear is not then the co-host, Rob Ford. How you feeling this evening, Rob?
You're doing great, man. Doing great, you know. Mardi Gras is over.
Rob.
I had to ask the Lord for forgiveness of my sins today.
That's how we starting. We got some to confess. Oh man, we already have to get talking about confessing sins. Oh man, I thought I was going to confess sins for eating pizza without some asparagus and you know Madison Square Garden. You know Rob is like living the dream over there, man. So you know that's what we got to be like Rob when we try to grow up.
It's been crazy, man. I was in Atlanta on Tuesday and Wednesday last week. I was in New York from Thursday to Saturday. Then I went to New Orleans. And now this morning I flew from New Orleans to Atlanta. So I'm in a hotel room here in Atlanta tonight.
The life of Rob.
Yeah.
Ball out.
Yeah. Now I got to get back to Tampa so I can get back to my asparagus life, man. I got to get back to my diet. I'm sure I'd have put on a few pounds.
Oh, my God. Rob would know about the asparagus side if there was one, man. We got to check in with West Coasters, Curtis and Gary. We're hoping that Gary is really not homeless, man. You know, a lot of things happen in his personal life. But, you know, you always got the RV, man. So that's what it's all about.
Oh,
and, of course,
we got
Curtis holding down the fort as well, man. West Coasters, how y'all feeling?
How you doing, Kurt?
I'm doing great. I want to say I've been to Mardi Gras, but the wildest time I ever had was Super Bowl and Super Bowl when New Orleans and the Colts played with
I was there.
Big name that week, and it was due to all the fans from New Orleans. More girls, more partying, more drinking. I mean, no sleep that whole week. I mean, that was like I said, I've been to Mardi Gras, but that 2010 Super Bowl beat Mardi Gras in Miami, beat it to every punch, every wild thing you can get into, to beat it.
All right.
Except for the food. New Orleans has some of the best food on the planet.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah, good food, yeah.
Yep. I'm paying for it right now, too.
I love it. Good stuff. Good stuff, Gary, though. But you can
add all kind of po' boys, gumbo. King cake.
They be inventing food over there. They be inventing ways of eating food over there. Yeah, that's some good stuff, though.
Yeah, that is good. Doing
well,
man.
Ready
to get this party
too.
Started.
Nice. Let's jump in. We got a lot of things to talk about. You know, obviously, top of the mind we're going to talk about is the Major League Baseball lockout, which is kind of, pretty upsetting here in this instance and that, looks like baseball's canceling the first two series, and just kind of tough, man, at this situation, because obviously two sides talking about adding extra playoff games and whatnot, and then you got the players kind of conceding, and it almost seems like it's agreed from the owners, and we'll kind of let you guys go around the horn here, talk about this too, your thoughts, and just pretty disappointing, especially as us in Atlanta, we want to keep that momentum going with the Braves, but, we're hoping that it's not going to be extended, and, we know how these lockouts can sometimes go. So, what's your thoughts about that, JQ? Kind of kick it off with you, sir. Go around the horn and finish it up, if you will.
Listen, baseball is really tripping for what they have happening. When you see the popularity of the NFL and a chance to try to
– no.
And a chance to try to, not keep falling too much further behind it. Then you got March Madness hitting your head to start. You're probably going to have a really exciting NBA playoffs. And then to be out of the mix totally from a viewership standpoint when you're already struggling, probably in the United U.S. as the third major sport behind basketball and football, just not doing themselves any favors. And like I said, people who are out here, battling inflation, And trying to keep their jobs during COVID and pass this and seeing millionaires argue with billionaires, it's just, it totally misses the point. And I just don't know if this is going to have a resolution in sight. I really don't. So, I mean, I get it from the player standpoint. The owners don't want to share the revenue. It takes so long to get the free agency. And then you have these owners that don't care. The Pittsburghs, since they was in that group for a while, where they just are content to take the Yankees and the Red Sox wherever you can share money and not try to put any of that back onto the field. So they've got some issues they got to work out. And I just don't know if they'll get a home run chase. Because people forget that home run chase with McGuire and Sosa brought baseball back. But it took a couple years after that lockout of 95 for that to basically catch the imagination again. I don't know if they've got, you can't see that thing coming, right? So you can't call it. But I don't know if they have that thing going to happen right now, given where that home run mark is now. You know what I mean? Like, what kind of everyday conversation story can they have to get people invested back in baseball? Because people are going to be pissed again with them for this lockout. It's unnecessary. I'm one of those people that love baseball, and I'll be back. But, you have a divide amongst older fans who love baseball who will be there more than likely to bring it back. But trying to keep those younger fans or recruit younger fans to baseball – this is not going to help it by any stretch of the imagination. So shame on baseball, and I put more of it on Manfred and the owners. They just seem not to care. Like, well, we got our money, we'll wait y'all out. And it may not be the reception they think they're going to get when they come back.
Yeah, I agree with that. I put more to blame on the commissioner and the owners as well. And it's all about recovering the money that they lost during the pandemic, right? Hey, the pandemic, this is a once-in-a-100-year kind of thing, and I think we're coming out of the pandemic, thank God. And they just need to gradually get some of that
back,
right? Overnight, just try to reclaim a lot of that money. And that's what it's all about right now. It's, they lost a lot of money during the year of the pandemic, and they're trying to reclaim a lot of that money right now. And to me, that's the wrong approach. It's going to be a gradual progress. A gradual process in order for them to come back and recover.
Yeah.
You can't expect them to get that overnight. So I think it's a poor decision. I think JQ alluded to that. And then when you look at baseball right now, I mean, right now they're number four major sport in America. When you look at NFL, NBA, college football, then Major League Baseball right now. This is going to hurt them tremendously because, number one, you're not getting a lot of American players in the game right now. So that's hurting a lot of the popularity, too. So, I mean, this is a bad approach, a bad business decision. And, you know, a good businessman know you got to be in it for the long term, right, not for the short term. You took a hit during the pandemic, but you got to take that slow approach in coming back. You can't just expect to get it all back in 1 year. So I think it's a poor decision. And right now they're canceling the first two series of the season. We don't know what spring training is going to be like. That's a huge chunk of revenue. I think they're hurting themselves more, you know, and it's going to add on to what they lost during the pandemic, honestly.
And you talk about spring training sites, because if they do an abbreviated one at home fields, you know, just to try to get the season going, you know, the Mesa, Arizonas and the Clearwater, Floridas, that count on that revenue, right? People coming down and flock to watch the games, eating at the restaurants, local restaurants, staying at the local hotels. That's something they count on, and that industry was already crushed by COVID because people weren't traveling to spend their money. So they needed that to come back right now, right? So if you don't have that level of that, you just say, hey, we're just going to go and do spring training at Truist because we're not going to fly all the way down and come back because we're trying to speed up to get the season going. You've killed a whole season for a lot of areas in the country that always needed, but really needed it after missing out on it and during COVID and that was time. So I'm sorry, Greg, go ahead. He made me think about that when he said it. That's another myth that gets hit, like, right away by local economy.
Well, these billionaires, you know, they become billionaires for a reason, you know, and they know how to shift things around. You know, you can't really feel too sorry for a season other than just the normal folks in this COVID situation. These billionaires,
right,
you know, they write all of that stuff off. So when it boils down to it, they probably don't lose a nickel when you really figure it all out in their profits and losses. So the idea that they want to make up all of these artificial losses all up in one fair swoop is just really a billionaire being opportunistic to try and capitalize even more on a situation like this COVID thing, because they're still billionaires and they're still, you know, and sometimes it's really, really good to have a lot of loss, a lot of things like this and the kickbacks and stuff that these big corporations and big businesses get. So I just think you're right, it's billionaires fighting with millionaires, but it's the greed of those billionaires that are just trying to line their pockets even more so over the next, you know, collective bargaining agreement, you know, instead of just let's get the season started. If they really wanted to, if they really were that interested in about, you know, making money, they'd have come up with a deal that was palatable for everybody, and we wouldn't be having this conversation. But there is benefits to having big losses for these guys. It's not so much with us. If we're broke, we're broke.
Right.
You know, everyday people.
Right.
It's not the same with them. So that's how that whole process works. I've seen it time and time again, and it's just them capitalizing even more so on something.
Well, I want to disagree with Gary with a few things. Of course, there are million years of oldness, but it's not even. New York and Boston got so much more money that it isn't even out to, you know, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh can never compete with them. There's a bunch of teams.
Yeah.
And a bunch of millionaires that can't compete with New York and Boston. You know, that is so uneven that I can see why some of the lower teams that can never compete with that can be in an argument and try to say, let's even this out. You guys can't be the giants of baseball and then us be the little ones and can compete. There's plenty of teams in baseball that you know even in when the season starts. They're not even going to be in the playoffs. And Pittsburgh is one of my favorite baseball teams. And it's been so long. You know, when I was in high school, they had Willie Stargell. My senior year of baseball was the last time they won the World Series. And they haven't been able to compete ever since. They just don't have that kind of millionaire. They don't got that kind of TV contract. And I think that's got to do with a lot, too, with the TV contracts and the commercials and the people that, you know, like First National Bank and all that, Delta, put their name on these things, and some of these little teams can't get that. And I think that is a big problem. And they got to control. Just like all the rest of these teams, the salary cap. I think they're trying to deal with that, and baseball hasn't been able to deal with that kind of thing. Paying people $135 million for a 30-year career—that's crazy.
Yeah.
That doesn't even make any sense. They need a salary cap, and they need to try to even out those teams. So every fan of baseball, Colorado Rockies, all of them can kind of feel, I mean, that's what success in football, because every year, in football, every team does think they got a shot. They really do. They all do. And baseball does not have that feel in every team in their league because of where they're in.
Do you have anything else to add to that, Gary?
No, he's just going to argue with me again.
It's all good. It's all good. No, that's, you know, again, I think we've kind of hit that as far as, you know, billionaires and millionaires and kind of arguing. But 100% agree with you, JQ, as far as what's happening, how that impacts, you know, even going to, you know, Florida for spring training. And we have no idea what's going to happen with that, too. It's pretty disappointing. And, we, you know, like I said, hopefully they can survive, because it took a minute for after the 95 strike, you know, and like you said, I remember the whole Chicks Dig the Long Ball thing, man. So that's just, you know, it's just Major League Baseball, you're kind of playing with fire, if you will, too. So
yeah,
we'll move on from that.
Take steroids, come back.
It did.
And that's exactly right. And then we see what kind of ramification of that. We kind of like pushed it on the side, and then, you know, again, they didn't say nothing, if you will. So baseball's got a couple of black eyes, if you will, too. We'll come back, Curtis, because we'll see if you were a fan of the Pirates. You know how JQ feels about Pittsburgh, if you will. The Sid Breens of the world, Andy Van Slyke. Let's go back to that, man. That was some crazy times, man. So, you know, we'll keep it going here. Let's talk about some football here.
Roberto
we don't
Clemente.
Have to spend a lot of time about
back to those days
here.
The Pirates.
JQ says it all. I love it. We don't have to spend a lot of time talking about Bruce Arians. Talking about trading, you know, Tom Brady. He made a joke. He traded for like 5 first-round picks. We know that's not happening in this instance too, man. So we really don't have to spend a lot of time talking about Curtis and Gary's favorite player. But if you wanted to kind of like say a quick minute, you can. Go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tired of talking about Tom Brady. It's like, oh, I want to go away, but then we got to talk about this mofo every day. Why? Like, he ain't even retired a week, and we still have talked about him every day. Okay, it might be 2 weeks. But we talked about him, like, every day. Can we please stop talking about Tom Brady? There's so much other things going on. Hell, you can talk about the Rams first before you talk about Tom Brady. Good Lord. Like, stop it. Let him go somewhere and sit off somewhere and chill out with Giselle and, you know, drink some Coronas with Snoop on the beach or something. Go do something. Let's stop talking about Tom Brady every day.
They're trying to
the love of everything. They are.
They're trying to talk about retirement. It's ridiculous.
One minute.
Agree.
That's all we got. That's all we got. 1 minute. Don't.
Yeah,
don't
we got nothing here.
It.
Next topic. Oh, you got
love
something
it.
You want to?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love Tom Brady. I love his story because it destroyed all these people that were Joe Montana fans. I mean, I never thought Joe Montana was I never thought anything that San Francisco were good teams. They beat Cincinnati twice.
Hey, that was good teams, man. I'm getting ready to get off this call. Those were 2 good teams.
Was the first one to get 4 Super Bowls. And he's the only quarterback that has 2 back-and-backs.
We're talking about Tom Brady. What do you got to say about Tom Brady?
But Tom Brady, I love him because he takes away everybody's thought that Joe Montana was so great. Joe Montana was not that great.
Yes, he was great.
But,
great. No. Man. I'm not going to let you go with that.
Great dink and dunk system quarterback. Yeah, he was.
That's what
he was so
he
great.
He did exactly what the system called for.
Listen, Joe Montana was so great. This is how great he was.
Here we go.
And he had a great coach. Remember Bill Walsh?
He had
the greatest coach in 49er history, Bill Walsh.
Yeah,
wanted to trade Joe Montana for John Elway. That's how great he was.
And they
Bill Walsh understood that you had a shelf life. He understood he had a shelf life. Couldn't wait to get him replaced.
Y'all about to get me out of my feelings.
Y'all about to get my heart racing right now. Nah, man, we ain't gonna talk about that. Nah,
well,
no. I mean, like I said, yeah. Every quarterback's gonna hit that. Like I said, every quarterback's gonna go to their thing. Bill Walsh was he was kind of like Bill Belichick. He's very strategic. Hey, you know, eventually I realized that Joe Montana can't play forever, and the situations where he realized, you know, maybe whenever he designed the system, actually goes back to Cincinnati days, believe it or not, whenever he designed the system, the kind of, hey, we had to have a system that was, I'm sorry, JQ. JQ, try to get out of this. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this. All I'm saying is that, again, anytime you're talking about a quarterback did exactly what he was supposed to do. He was allowed to make the plays. He had a great, great system. And you talk about Tom Brady. Tom Brady won a lot of games off based upon Adam Vinatieri too. So when like he was blowing teams out, he did exactly what I'm getting in position to kick the field goal. Adam Vinatieri did that as well too. So again, we can sit here and split hairs about greatness, and I'm not saying that Tom Brady sucks, but don't you talk about Joe Montana was not a great quarterback. That dude was electric. Hall of Famer. Tom Brady would be a Hall of Famer. You know that. I'm just saying.
There's a lot of top 20 quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame. Next topic.
I'm going to come back on this. Before I get too hype, let's talk about your boy here. I'm going to throw you guys a bone here. We're going to talk about Dak Prescott, update on that. We're going to talk about what's happening. Cowboys and Amari Cooper and DeMarcus Lawrence, if you will. They're kind of hesitant to commit on those. So we'll let you have your moment, and then we're going to talk about, you know, your boy Kenny Pickett's hand size, apparently, how he's doing stretching drills on the top five quarterbacks in the mock draft. So there you go. Go ahead.
You talking to us out here out west?
So
there's always cap casualties, you know, in every team. So I think they could very well move on Amari Cooper. I don't think they're going to move on the defensive side of the ball at all. But I do think I can see them moving on Amari Cooper. In fact, I would move on him, and I would sign our Schultz, a tight end, before I would spend $20 million this year or whatever it is on Amari Cooper. He served a purpose.
Yeah.
We got him for a first-round pick. He's been clutch in a lot of games. He's played well for us. But unfortunately, on any team, you can't keep everybody. And these are tough situations that come around, and they're deep enough at wide receiver that I think they'll be okay.
CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup's playing well.
The Cowboys got a little window right here. They got a window, but boy, they got to make great decisions, and they got to make great decisions on defense, and they got to make great people in that line. They got a window here. If they're smart with their money, and they know heart of football players, their first stack drafted last year, that's hard. And that's what I saw from the Rams with their big stud on the defense. These are people that win Super Bowls. They don't win them with the physical. They win them with heart. Where's your heart at? Where's your seriousness? Where's the focus at? I'm not focused on women. I'm not focused on stats. I'm only worried about winning that Super Bowl. And when you win that Super Bowl, all the gifts come to you. Disney comes to you. Everybody wants to come to you when you win that Super Bowl. But you got to win that Super Bowl. And that is heart. That is heart and focus. And that's what the Cowboys, if they learn anything from their last year's draft, they got to figure it out. Who's got the heart? And who wants to be snappy. And that takes heart. That comes from the heart. That doesn't take from the physical.
No, and that's one thing that the Cowboys did not have last year is focus and heart, and that's why they ended up, you know, where they ended up. Again, not even a bridesmaid, maybe a flower girl, you know. So, okay, it is what it is. But as far as your, you know, you had a comment on Dak, you know, Dak having a surgery on his non-throwing arm, you know.
Yeah.
I don't take into any – I mean, that's fine. I mean, lots of players on every team have things that they got to get paired. That's a violent sport. Even though they've taken away from so much of the violence that I loved growing up, it's still – these guys are bigger, they're stronger, and they're faster than they've ever been. The technology on, you know, how they train, what they eat, you know – these guys are just incredible athletes, and it takes, you know, and when you've got a situation where you've got some holes in your offensive line and you're starting to take some major hits like Dak did, I would imagine there's some definitely some surgeries in your off season. So, but I don't put any stock. I don't think it's going to be a game changer or whatever for this next season. The non-throwing arm surgery, very minor, so I don't think it was any big deal.
No.
I want to hear from the GOAT. I want to hear from the podcast GOAT, though. What does he think?
I think anytime you go under the knife, it's serious. But, yes, I'd be more concerned if I was a Cowboys fan if it was his throwing shoulder versus his non-throwing shoulder. But just me personally, I get it. You're right. It's violent. Every team has multiple players that are going to have off-season surgery. That's going to happen. It's going to happen every year. So I think he's going to bounce back from it. And I'm with you. I know Amari Cooper has been highly overrated for the money that he's getting paid. They're going to restructure that or let him go. And you heard me say it. They're going to have to do the same thing with Zeke. If Zeke don't want to restructure, they might have to let his ass go too. There's money to be freed up for the Cowboys where they can – rely on a couple other people, draft your running back in the third round, you know what I'm saying, to fill that void. And I like CeeDee Lamb. I mean, you try to resign Gallup, you know, or make some moves in free agency with some of that money. I think that was I liked it, what they tried to do, what the thought of it was, but, you know, I just don't think it's panned out. I'd rather keep, like you said, I'd rather keep that defense that made that big turnaround from 2 years ago to last year and then rework some other things on my offensive line and find me some younger, talented players on offense and go with that. If they hate Dak, that's a $70 million man, whatever the hell it is. You need to elevate these guys. That's what we're paying you for, is to elevate them, right? But he's still going to have CD. I'm with you, Dalton Schultz is playing fantastic. I think you got to resign him. And the other tight end they had, too, you could go to a two tight end set if you needed to in the pinch, right, with CD outside and, you know, free agency X or, you know, player you draft this year. So, I think that's where the money, if you're going to pair some money to put it somewhere else, that's where I would go.
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. They're going to definitely, well, at least in my opinion, I think they're going to let Amari Cooper walk. And, you know, I have him taking Drake London, wide receiver from USC in the first round of the draft, who I think could be the absolute steal as a wide receiver in this NFL draft. Got great size, got great hands. He reminds me of a Michael Thomas with a little bit more speed. I think he's going to be one of the steals in the draft at the wide receiver position. I know he got hurt in like the third or fourth game of the season at USC, but I think a tremendous player, 6'5", 210, 215 pounds. I could see him going to the Cowboys at that 24th pick in this draft to replace Amari Cooper. So,
he wants to have a good 40 time. He's got the size. Yeah, you might be drafting Anquan Boldin. You know what I mean? Like, if you catch, you know, Anquan would be, so get me wrong, but he couldn't burn nobody.
All he needs to do is run a 4.5, and he's good. At that 4.5. size, for his hands and his catching radius, all he needs is a 4.5. He doesn't need to run a 4.4 or 4.3. If he runs a 4.5 with that size, he's going to be an absolute steal on this draft. I think, you know, he's not going to be the number one receiver pick in this draft, but I think he's got a chance come out of this draft as the best receiver.
If he goes number 24, that means either a whole slew of wide receivers went in the teens, or he leapfrogged some folks at the combine, because you got him going to go over, you know, Garrett and Wilson, that kid from Arkansas. So that's at least three.
I got Garrett Wilson going 13 to Cleveland. I got Treylon Burks going 14 to Baltimore. I got Chris Olave going 15. He's not. I don't have.
Wow, that's a lot of white receivers in the first round.
That's what I was saying. If he went 24, that means there was a run of wide receivers.
I didn't
there
see
is
that happening.
Wide receivers.
Hey, that's every draft you get wide receivers going in the first round. It's a passing league now.
Well, yeah, but you
so
got
look
a
at
lot
the draft
of, right.
with Justin Jefferson.
You got a
look
lot
at
of
the draft.
Yeah,
Justin Jefferson went 20-something, and like four or five guys went ahead of him.
It's true.
Just a few years ago. It's a passing league now. Wide receivers are going in the first round like that. Chuck, you got to go.
Philadelphia's still kicking themselves for Jalen Reagor. They took Jalen Reagor one spot before Minnesota took Justin Jefferson.
Oh, my God.
Jalen Reagor.
Oh, my God, JQ.
Jerry Jeudy.
It's true.
Henry Ruggs. We can go on and on how many win that draft they had of Justin Jefferson.
Don't bring back JQ and freaking what happened to him. We're not going to talk about John Ross, man. So it's all good, man. So
Jamar Chase was number 5 last year in the draft.
They got it right there. They got that one right. All right, we're going to move on here because we got a hard stop at 12. It's interesting we talk about – we're going to let Rob kind of have this moment here. We're going to talk about the mock draft and then hand size, right? We talk about hand size here, and this has been pretty interesting. I was looking up some interesting stats about this. Some of the people that had some of the biggest hands were none other than Mark Sanchez and Brett Favre, if you will. Now, Brett Favre had, you know, he's kind of like considered the standard. But the crazy thing about Brett Favre, if you will, he had 166 fumbles and more butterfinger moments in NFL than any other quarterback in NFL history. So that's kind of crazy, right? So he's considered like this guy that, was kind of hitting the standard. And the Packers have loved big-handed quarterbacks because, you know, they're thinking they're throwing in the wind. Dak Prescott has a good size hands, which is crazy, as well as Russell Wilson. Surprisingly for the Bengals, if you will, Joe Burrow has the same hand size as none other than Jared Goff and Ryan Tannehill. So there's not really an exact science when it comes to this because Kenny Pickens, he's like, I'm doing hand stretches. It doesn't really matter. Patrick Mahomes doesn't have really great hands.
I'm doing hand stretches.
Kyler Murray. Right. That's what he said. He's actually doing hand stretches, and it's crazy. Like, he's, like, really worried about this. They said Tom Brady. We love Tom Brady, Curtis. Average hand size, too. So it's kind of like, what the hell? You know what I'm saying? How do you pick, you know, who's going to be great? So I'll turn it over to you, Rob, as far as some interesting facts about that. But Mark Sanchez had the largest hands, you know, believe it or not, and you saw how his career went. So doesn't mean shit. I mean, doesn't
he's
mean
the one that's got the butt fumble, too.
Yeah, butt fumble right there, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, this here's my thoughts on Kenny Pickett. Obviously, as of right now, this is not a strong quarterback class this year. We all know that, right? And I think it's a really good chance we may not have a quarterback picked in the top 5 in this draft, which we always see a quarterback climbs. But this might be the one draft we don't see a quarterback in the top 5. I think Kenny Pickett is the most ready-to-play quarterback in this draft. He's the one guy that could probably come in and possibly play right away. I think Malik Willis has the most upside of any quarterback in this draft. You know, Kenny may have it between the years to go in there and play right now, but I think 2-3 years from now, Malik might be the better quarterback.
Interesting.
And that's my thought process.
I agree.
When you look at his hands, obviously scouts are going to, you know, evaluate that, you know, all the way up until the time of the draft, right? But I think I got Malik Willis going number 9 at Denver as the number 1 quarterback off the board. I got Kenny Pickett going number 11 to Washington right now, Washington. So I got Pickett as the number 2 quarterback off the board. You know, like I said, Willis may not start right away. Pickett will have a better chance of starting right away, but I still think Willis might be the guy that's got the most long-term
potential out of the quarterbacks in this draft. Matt Corral, I mean, he's going to be another one to watch, too. Obviously, coming off a major injury, I got him going 27 to Tampa Bay. I got Sam Howell going 32 to Detroit. And I got Desmond Ridder going to Atlanta in the second round.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Oh, I don't know if Matt Corral gets past Pittsburgh. And that'd be interesting because they definitely need one, and they may just talk themselves into it the same way they talk themselves into Najee Harris, saying we have to have a running back, even though they need an O-line help as bad as Cincinnati did. I don't know. Malik Willis, I mean, if you let Teddy Bridgewater go, Malik Willis might be able to walk in there and beat out Drew Lock. Like, I don't know if he automatically fits. He doesn't have a – unless Denver does something drastically in free agency, right, and gets a bridge starter just to help ease his transition, I think he's got a shot to go in there and beat out Drew Lock. There's nothing Drew Lock that I see that says he can 100% hold off Malik Willis. So that would be interesting, but – I think Denver is also, you know, they still are reportedly in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes, and they may try to get them a 1 year stopgap to get quarterback as they draft. I think they're going to draft a quarterback until he's ready. But if they don't do that, the Matt Corral piece is interesting. I'd be shocked if Pittsburgh didn't come out of this first round with a quarterback. If there's one of those top three, I think it's those three though. I think it's Malik Willis. I think it's Matt Corral. I think it's Kenny Pickett. I think they would take one of those top three in there. I don't think they're dumb enough to take Sam Howell.
And Malik Willis, 1,800 yards rushing at the quarterback position in the last 2 years. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's got a cannon for an arm. He's just going to have to improve in the accuracy standpoint. But, man, he can make all the throws. Yeah, he can definitely make it. Kind of reminds me of Trey Lance from a development prospect. But he's played more football coming into the draft than what Trey Lance did last year, right? Mm-hmm. Trey Lance played one game going into the draft last year. So, I mean, Lance is, you know, obviously still definitely in a development stage. I think Pittsburgh, the key is going to come down to what's going to happen with free agency. I think Pittsburgh is going to give the Saints a run for their money with Jameis Winston. You know, hopefully the Saints are able to keep him. That's going to be interesting to see what happens from a free agency perspective. But I think if Winston doesn't stay with the Saints, I think he may wind up with the Steelers if he doesn't stay with the Saints. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens from the free agency standpoint for the Steelers. But even if they get somebody like that, I could see the Steelers drafting a quarterback, but maybe not quite in the first round. Now, if they miss out on Winston, then, yeah, they definitely could probably get a QB in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah, that picture is froze. Hey, Gary, Curtis, y'all
still
there?
Yeah, Curtis and Gary.
Yeah, we're here. We're listening to you.
Okay.
You guys are putting on a great show. Yeah. Love it.
So stupid.
Two thumbs up from the West Coast.
You guys all have some moment. We're talking about the Cowboys and everything like that. Come on.
What's that, Curtis?
When you're talking, what's that?
You guys, Curtis was kind of. I was off with dealing with some stuff for Curtis. He was off on the subject, so. Give him the topic again so that he can comment on it. What was the topic you guys were talking about?
We were talking about Kenny Pickett's hand size and how that affects quarterbacks and everything like that.
Hand size for these quarterbacks. And we had a president with little hands, too. Remember him?
Oh, my gosh.
Gary's becoming Rob with the Roger Cadell comments here.
He spent a month talking about the size of his hands after that.
That was
crazy. Yeah, you saw what happened. Well, I mean, it's interesting this year. I'm hearing a lot about Wentz and on the coach. I'm hearing a lot about the quarterback of the Arizona. Of course, we had from the Green Bay quarterback. And I mean, it's in Denver. They signed Bridgeport. They signed him again, but I don't think that's their intention. I think Denver's going to go after somebody.
You think that was plan B?
Yeah, I think they may go after the Green Bay quarterback.
Well, what about what Rob was talking about earlier, Curtis, was whether or not the quarterback Winston for the New Orleans was going to stay there, or if maybe the Steelers were going to make a run on him.
Yeah,
I would stay. I would stay right where I would stay in New Orleans.
Yeah.
If that were me, and they had comparable deals, I would stay right where I'm at.
Shit, yeah, the NFC South is way more winnable.
Yeah,
would Brady retire? Chuck, if would Brady retiring, actually, you got to say the Saints the favorite of the division right now. I mean, shucks, they were 9-8 with guys like Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill.
They are.
Come on, bro. Remember all that.
I know you don't want to hear that.
And they were 5-2 with Winston prior to them getting hurt.
Well, I'm not talking junk. I'm not talking junk.
They keep the defense.
That's still defense. Is important for them to keep the defense. You know, like you're not sure who the coach is. You know, like I said, so Sean Payton was a really great coach, man. So I'm going to give them a little, obviously, some kudos to that part. You know, but still, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. I'm not crapping on the team.
The whole
coach
is sad.
You know, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, but Sean Payton, I get what he's saying. Sean Payton is a proven play caller, head coach. Let's see what Dennis Allen does. Just because it's continuity doesn't necessarily mean it's going to reap the same rewards. I get you. I get you, Dre.
I'm not saying my Falcons are going to anything because I don't even know what the hell we're doing, you know. So I mean, it's pretty much literally anyone's division at this juncture too. We know the Kip. We always talk about the Panthers. They can get it right too. We never know. But you know, and obviously, I know. I'm just saying. Dumpster fire part two.
If Carolina can get a quarterback.
Yeah.
You're right. If Carolina can get a quarterback and if Christian McCaffrey can stay healthy,
Catherine.
Yeah, you got to say Carolina will be the bigger thing. But those are two
you might
big hits.
Right? Carolina hit the lottery. That's a lot of fucking ifs. If they can get a quarterback and have a
quarterback
healthy.
They keep trying to get
Carolina. They get a quarterback and Christian McCaffrey healthy, then yeah, they got a chance. But
my God.
As of right now, on March 2nd, you got to say the same.
This is what Curtis said earlier in this. Remember when he said every NFL team goes into the season thinking they have a chance. It's just that there are a lot of our teams where we have a lot of the ifs, like you were just talking about, right? But in baseball, there are those teams that they really know, even with all the ifs, they're still not going to make it.
Yeah.
And I just think that was a great point. Even though I don't like my podcast work wife arguing with me on the podcast like this, that would be Curtis. we're having some problems.
It came out of nowhere. It just came out of nowhere with that argument.
But,
that was hilarious.
You know, we grew up differently, and I see different things. And baseball just isn't, it's not even close to being even or even trying to be even. At this time, maybe that's what they're arguing about. Try to give everybody a little bit of a chance. If you're in Minnesota, if you're in Arizona.
Ooh.
You know, give all the fans to come out to think their team has a chance. The Colorado Rockies, there's a lot of teams out there that can't keep up with the money that New York and Boston have.
Yeah.
It's not always about the money. If you look at Tampa, Tampa is a fantastic run organization that does not have a whole lot of payroll, but they stay in the mix every year because they care to
stay in the
mix.
They play in the worst stadium in baseball.
Oh, yeah. That's horrible.
I'm just saying, their payroll is not ever high. They have to let people go. They turn over, but their scouting department is probably the best scouting department in all of baseball because you look at how they're doing that, and they're still winning 100 games and in the mix. Oh, Lord have mercy.
So let's go back to the thing because we got about 10 minutes left in the show. I want Rob to kind of talk about really quickly some players to watch at the combine, and then again before we wrap up, there's a couple things that some topics. We have a lot of topics that we're not gonna get a chance to hit on. There's a topic we're gonna talk about. We'll let you guys do that, and we'll wrap it up too. So Rob. Do your thing, bro, and hopefully, this is going to mention to what's happening with, combine happening at literally on Tuesday. Go ahead, bro.
All right, I'm going to go through this quickly. 5 offensive players and 3 defensive players. I think the guys are going to be to watch. Treylon Burks from Arkansas, we touched on him briefly. I got him going in that 14 range in the first round. Potentially, I think he's a guy that can move into the top 10. He's got great size. It's going to depend on how well he runs in this draft. Right now, I got him going 14. I've had some earlier mocks where he's had number 8. So it's going to be interesting to see, what he does in the combine from a speed perspective, how he interviews. Offensive line, I think another swing guy is Kenyon Green, offensive guard from Texas A&M. Is he going to be a late first rounder? Is he going to be a second rounder, right? How well does he interview and how well he does at the combine, too, is another guy to watch. Another guy I haven't really talked about. Right now, I got him going somewhere in the 3rd or 4th round. I haven't sent out any 3rd or 4th round mocks yet. Isaiah Likely, tight end from Coastal Carolina, 6'4", 240. A little bit small on the tight end side. He's probably more of a tweener, but he can cause some matchup problems. How well he runs, he's not going to be a blocking tight end at all. And so with teams looking for mismatches on the offensive side of football, watch out for Isaiah Likely and how he performs. Tyler Linderbaum, offensive lineman from Iowa. Right now I got him going number 18 to the Saints. He's another guy that can swing all the way from the late first round all the way to possibly the latter part of the top 10. So how well he does is going to be one to watch. And the last offensive guy, you guys watch the Senior Bowl, Christian Watson from North Dakota State.
Love Christian Watson. I actually love that guy.
How well he's going to run at the combine, 6'4", 210 pounds. He's got the size, so he'll be another guy to watch. I have him going in the 2nd round right now. Defense side, Kyrie Lund and Andrew Boots, cornerbacks from Florida and Clemson, respectively. They could range anywhere from mid-first to the early 2nd round, where they're going to fall. And another guy, last but not least, N'Kobe Dean. I got linebacker from Georgia. I got him going 20 to Pittsburgh right now. He could go anywhere from 10 to 32. So he's another guy that's going to be intriguing to watch from a combine perspective. Those are my 8 players.
Good stuff. Love Christian Watson, man. I'm kind of hoping that all the talented wide receivers kind of push him down a little bit in that second, maybe early 3rd, because that's kind of where we're targeting, but I can't wait to see how he runs, Rob. That's a great person. I'm looking to see how he performs, too. I'm secretly hoping that that's a guy the Falcons target, too, if we don't get George Pickens a little earlier, too. But, yeah, good stuff, man. Really good stuff.
He's a hot name right now because of how well he performed in the Senior Bowl. Yeah.
That is awesome. Yeah. JQ?
No, I was just really happy. Because mine is all selfish. The reports of Olave and Garrett just about what, all the wide receivers are going to be about that 40 time. So they've got questions about their top-end speed, the ability to take the top off the defense, both really good route runners. But in terms of just straight lines, they don't have Tyreek Hill type speed. So the same thing we talked about with Drake from USC is the same thing for those boys from Ohio State. They're going to have to hit that 40, and it can be potentially millions of dollars we're talking about in a tenth of a second.
We talked about Tyreek Hill was like a zero, like, you know, zero-star athlete coming out of high school. So there's always – you never know. So just it's just craziness. Is there a topic you wanted to talk about before we get ready to wrap this up too? Anything you wanted to kind of touch base on or what?
No.
Okay. Good deal. We'll talk more. We'll let West Coast jump in there. Rob, I am curious to see where Arch Manning is landing, man. So I'm hearing like a lot of stuff about that too, man. So that's an interesting topic. But again, if we want to spend a little bit of time, I was trying to about if we had to have a hard stop at 12. I know we can just spend a shout out or whatever too, but it's just a couple things to kind of touch on that. West Coasters, you know, I know we got like 5 minutes. I don't know if there's in 3 minutes before we hit our 2 minute OT thing. Anything you want to talk about really quickly?
Well, I want to bring up one of the topics. Are the Rams going to be a dynasty?
Yeah, I was going to think about
no.
that, yeah, for you.
No.
Yeah.
First of all, they might not even win their division this next season. You know, they might not. So many things have to fall in place in this day and age. You know, yeah, we had, you know, Tom Brady who was able to do it so many times and help his team win in so many ways. And everything, all the cards kind of fell into place for the Rams this particular year with, you know, just like with just with injuries, you know, being healthy at the right time. They had the right personnel to do it. They played a hell of a team that could have easily have won the game as well. But they won the game. And a lot of Super Bowls go like that, but I don't see the Rams being that dominating team that's going to win.
When New England was winning all that, look at their system. Look who they had to go to. I mean, they had no competition. They knew they were going to win their division. Every year, I mean, the Jets wasn't a threat. Miami wasn't a threat. They didn't have no threats in the regular season of winning their division and winning all those home games because they were in that division. The Rams don't have that. The Rams have a hard time with San Francisco.
That's right.
Interstate rivalry, and it's a great interstate.
And what's weird about that is as much as the Rams have 49ers have had the Rams number, Seahawks have had the 49ers number, you know. So it's these sort of things. So the answer is no, I don't see that.
And can't see it because of the division. You gotta have like the division that turns into that shot.
That number one seed, home court advantage, playoff.
Give you the fans that are obligated.
60 seconds. Good, Rob.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music at the end of our live portion of the show tonight. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports with the 12th man. We're talking NFL Combine. We're talking NFL Draft. We're trying to get you ready. Next week, we should be back to our regularly scheduled program on Tuesday night. Tuesday night, we're talking 11 p.m. Eastern time for our Philadelphia Sixers fan. And as Stephen A. Smith would say, those god-awful New York Knicks fans, it's going to be 11 p.m. for you guys on Tuesday night next week. 10 p.m. in Chicago, 9 p.m. in Albuquerque, 8 p.m. in Fresno. Make sure y'all tune in on next Tuesday night. Don't miss the show. Good night, people.
Man, there's something really wrong with the two of y'all, man. You're not good people. Talk to y'all next week.
Let's all carve up on asparagus next week and get ready for the show.
Oh, God.
I'm surprised,
I got to get back on a plane now, man. I had too much gumbo and po' boys.
For the love of God, America, if there is an asparagus sponsor out there, please, dear God, get it through Rob, because apparently he's trying to plug it every single week. So if there is an asparagus farmer out there, I mean, I don't know what's happening. Please get
gotta
the sponsorship through Rob so we can.
Peru is the largest producer of asparagus. The nation
we
of
Peru. Hey, Rob, we got a lot of asparagus out
the
here.
Hell? Like, how do you know that, man?
Yeah.
Peru
is the largest producer.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
You got a little history left.
I'm just going to. Just really quickly. Oop, go ahead, Curtis.
Go ahead.
I can't think of the ones that we get out of the sea, and it's like seaweed, but it's good. That we do, that we eat out here. You gotta get to it. But once you get used to it, it's really good. And I can't think of its name right now. It's a festival. It's good. It comes out of the sea.
I can't think of what it is either. I know what you're talking about.
Burning Man. Probably Burning Man. Something like that. How about that?
Okay.
I got problems. Hey, I'm just going to really quickly piggyback on what Jerry said. Yeah, we don't think that the Rams are going to, you know, repeat. I don't think they really wanted to have that dynasty. They, like, it's going to be a different team. They went all in this year with Von Miller. You know, obviously, Cooper Kupp's going to be a star. We know about it happened. We know what's happening with Matt. He got the monkey off his back. But just things have to kind of hit, like, perfectly, too. You know, adding OBJ, little things like that. We do know next year that, like you said, it's going to be tougher for them. You know, they had some luck. And like you said, it's tough to beat a team a couple times. We know that San Francisco does got that number. But they did, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo just did just enough to kind of throw the game, man. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Rob, I don't know if you want to have anything else you wanted to kind of shout outs. And then, again, I know we want to get this thing wrapped up because I'm sure everyone's got a really busy day tomorrow, if you will, too. So, and then we'll wrap this bad boy up. Congrats, JQ. I'm trying to catch you, man, but, yeah, it's all good.
Oh, I'm in trouble this week, though.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's too hard to build a dynasty. It's too hard to repeat. It's going to be very competitive. I don't think Von Miller re-signs with the Rams. I really don't. I think it's going to be hard for them to keep him. I think they restructure and get Aaron Donald a new deal. Maybe they look to get Odell Beckham back in the fold. But I think Von Miller gets another deal somewhere else. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think he's going to be with the Rams. I think it's just going to be too tough for them to come back and repeat. As far as fantasy shout-out, Chester in New Orleans passed the rock. He had the biggest win of the week at an 8-1 victory over Blue Devil All-Stars. Hung out with him at Mardi Gras. A lot of fun. JQ's team, first place, Ohio Players, 108-53-1. So shout out to Pastor Rock, Justin, JQ's team, Ohio Players, in the fantasy basketball. I think we're down about the last 3 weeks of the regular season before we get to the fantasy basketball playoffs. Coming up soon.
Playoffs?
Run. Kevin Durant coming back tomorrow night. Hey, Sixers, James Harden, and Joel Embiid. I want to see what they look like these next 4 weeks. They got the Cavs. I think they got the Jazz, I believe, too, and the Miami Heat. So I want to see how well they play against some good teams here. They beat the Knicks twice and the Timberwolves. So let's see what they look like against really good teams here. So going to be interesting. Although the Timberwolves are not a bad team, actually.
Hey, sure. Really quickly, guys, don't be like Art to browse, okay? Just a little thing. Just, you know, don't do that, man. It's not good, man. That's all I'm going to say. You just got your
stand
job,
up.
Man. Come on, man.
What was Hugh Jackson doing?
You just got the job, then you're out.
What did y'all do to you while we were in Cincinnati?
That guy is a serious question.
I'm waiting for him to say the name.
And I'm surprised. I don't know the. I don't even know the answer to this. Of all the Super Bowls, how many black quarterbacks have won a Super Bowl?
Doug Williams
was the first one in Washington to win a Super Bowl. I do know that. I remember that. They beat the Denver Broncos, and they beat them bad. Elway took three bad beatings before he finally won his back-to-back Super Bowls. But before that, Doug Williams was one of those quarterbacks that lit the Broncos up. And how many black quarterbacks have won Super Bowls?
You got Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you count Patrick Mahomes. I don't know. Does Patrick Mahomes count? I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out, man.
Count. Patrick Mahomes
counts. I'm totally joking.
Mike McDonald counts. Patrick Mahomes counts.
That's true. They're trying to get it. Not Michael McDonald, McDaniel. Every time he says Michael McDonald, I'd be like, I can't say Mike McDonald every single time. I'm like, man, it's like Mike McDaniel, Rob. It's all hilarious. I go to it immediately. I keep forgetting. Over
if
here.
He counts,
Doobie Brothers.
Counts.
Yeah, for sure. Noah Fant counts, too, even though JQ hates folks from nobody wants to go to Iowa. There ain't no black people in Iowa, but that's one of the conversations.
Nice.
So.
JQ says Iowa, he's Michigan.
Great question.
In every university that's Catholic. I hate most of them, though.
Great question, Curtis. Great question, though, Curtis. That's some good fodder, too. We almost forgot about one.
I hate all of them. I hate most of them, though. I'll give you that.
I made
notice,
gentlemen.
Baby.
How many quarterbacks did you guys come up with? Three?
Yeah, we got
three Super Bowl quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Mahomes,
yes,
Wilson, and
Doug Williams.
Doug Williams.
Yes. Don't play him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Great question. That's a great question.
I just thought of that. And that kind of makes me sad, but we're talking about football, and if the Cowboys got that window of winning that division, because that window is weak, so they should win that window, and they should get some good home game. But they got a black quarterback. So I just crossed my mind.
Yep, that's a good question, Curtis. We appreciate you bringing that up. All right, guys.
Yep.
Again, really appreciate you guys for joining in. Start of March. Please be safe. Gary, hope you're enjoying your homelessness at the Embassy Suites. If you will, please be safe. Let us know what's happening.
I'm going to hold a sign up. I'm going to hold a sign up for the next podcast.
Please do.
Hey, we need to start me a GoFundMe page.
Oh, damn. It's all good.
Thank you.
Rob, thank
we'll
you
use it for golfing.
Use it for golfing.
Use it for golfing or for beer. Gentlemen, have a great rest of the evening. Please be safe during the week. Let's keep it going, as always.
JQ, you're going to have beer for breakfast at Mardi Gras.
But my stomach's ready to stop that.
I think he's fine.
We got you. All right, gentlemen. Have a good rest of the evening. I know everyone has to jump out here, man. So appreciate y'all for sure.
Good night, people.
All right, good night, people. Yep, yep.
Good night.
All right, you guys.
Good night.